Okay, we're starting the third tape with Orissa Galazda Hiladio. And I forgot to ask about a special event that your family had to mark their 50th anniversary of coming to the United States. You came back to Ellis Island?
Yes, we... my two nieces and nephew live in Westfield, New Jersey, which is the next train station stop before New York. And so they planned, the family planned a 50th anniversary visit to Ellis Island. So we had a day-long picnic. The younger brothers and sisters and the grandchildren all met. And we had a dinner cruise around Ellis Island. But during the day, we went to Ellis Island and visited. And when I walked up the stairs, and even though it was renovated, and even though it was beautiful, and saw the balcony all around, it reminded me of when we were there. And it was I could even see where the table with the donuts and the powdered sugar donuts and the hot chocolate was. I could just visualize, even though it was almost like all the ghosts of 50 years ago were there. It was very moving. It was, and so we're all thankful that they were able to come to America when...
And that was many people came to that.
Yeah, we had about 80 people. There were, in fact, my sister's husband's sponsors from Arkansas also came. So we had some guests, but most of our family and children, grandchildren, came, and even my mother. And we were laughing because it was quite expensive for all of us to do that. And we were saying if our father had been around, he would have really been very, very angry that we spent all that money. He would have said, you could send it to the seminaries to educate some more priests or Ukrainian universities or spend it on books. And my father was an artist. He carved Ukrainian art articles. He carved beautiful things. And so here when we returned home, my niece had a carved plate of my father's hanging above her kitchen door, and it had been there for about 5 years. Well, when we returned from the festivities, that plate was on the floor, and he had never fallen before. And so we laughed because we said, our father said, and he had been dead for 7 years. We were saying, our father saying, huh, you didn't get away with it. I know what you're doing. But it was, we took lots of pictures, sang lots of songs, and at the end we sang God Bless America and while we were going around Manhattan.
And what was that date again?
It was, well, the 50th anniversary would have been October 1949, but we did this in August while people were able to take vacation, so it was August of 1999.
And you had taken a trip back to the Ukraine.
I've gone back to teach English 4 times, in 92, 94, 98, 99, and visited our village, visited the house. The first time I went, I just cried and cried and cried because we were supposed to come back. We didn't, when we left in July of 44, we did not say goodbye to anyone because we were coming back in 2 weeks. And as a 7.5-year-old child, that was promised that my parents didn't keep, and so when I went back the first time, I cried, and you know. And then second time was a little bit easy. 98, 99 was easier yet, but in 98, when I went, I went to teach, in 98, 99, I went to teach English to a summer English-only course program for Lviv Theological Academy. And so we had to take a train to Carpathia Mountains, get off the train, and then take trucks way up into the mountains. And this was in July, and we got off the train, and we were in a little town, and then we went up the mountains and we came back, and again, I forget the name of the little town, but anyway, when I came home, I looked in a journal that my father kept, Skola, the name of the town was Skola. I looked at my father's journal, and when I was in Skola, in that train, it was July, like 28th or something. This was in 98. Well, I looked at my father's journal, and in July 24th, he wrote, "We're passing through Skola." And I got goosebumps. I thought, in 44, I passed through this town, and here I am in 98 going through this town. So, you know, it's, I think I needed to go back, and did, and I think it's made, I don't have that longing that I had for all those years for to go back because it was my hometown. On the other hand, when I went back to the village and I saw the mud I used to play in and saw the difficulties that the people, the hardships that the people have, they still have to live off the land. I thought, thank God for God's providence for bringing us to America. Because the only thing that's different there now is electricity, but that's it.
Did you meet a lot of people who were relatives and people who knew you?
Well, I was seven. I met cousin. Yeah, the relatives that were there I saw, and met them, and my uncle was alive. My aunt, when aunt was alive, this past September. Oh, and my sister went for the first time. She's 73, and so she met with our 90-year-old uncle, my father's brother, and cousins. But my brothers, the Peter and my brother Roman, have gone to teach in Ukraine almost every year. In fact, my brother Peter was rector or dean of the Lviv Theological Academy state for a year. He stayed there with his family. So our parents, I don't know how they did it, but our parents told us to love and respect America, but also to remember our origins, you know, our origins, and be grateful for that. So it was, they really did a balancing act. Both of them had only third grade education because that's all that was available. You know, my father was born in 1903, my mother in 1911. That's all that was available at the time. Yet they were brilliant in their wisdom, in their passing on that wisdom, you know, of the balancing. Yes, my father, you know, he wouldn't go back because, first he was afraid. Now maybe that it's free, he might have, but he wouldn't go back. On the other hand, like my brothers that were born here are both fluent in Ukrainian. I mean, at home, we had to speak Ukrainian. That was it. Even when I was an adult, even 50, 60, when we go to visit in the 50s when I was, we were afraid to speak English in his presence because that was, you know, it was important. So, but in some ways, he sacrificed his getting ahead by maintaining his old culture, you know, he's passed on the love of our new country and the opportunities, but also the love of the old. And I guess we could love many things, but our love for Ukraine doesn't diminish our love for America. You know, a person's capacity to love is limitless. You know, so, you know, we were really blessed. My brother Peter is just in the area giving a retreat at the Byzantine Seminary, so I picked him up Wednesday and he went back today, but he stayed there, and as we talked, we were marveling. He said, you know, our parents, they were brilliant. He says, I know people with PhDs that don't have the sense that our parents did. He says, I'm thinking, if my parents with third grade education could get it, why can't you? But it's just, I guess their life was so tough. They had to solve so many problems and tackle and find so many solutions that apparently it made them wiser. Mm. And I imagine many immigrants are very, very wise because of circumstances, you know. Mm-hmm. And maybe we here, when life's too easy, we don't develop the talents that we have. You know, maybe we're too lazy, or maybe we just don't want to, or maybe we sit in front of the television and, you know,
Did both your parents eventually learn English?
My father read and wrote English very well. He was afraid to speak because he says, I'm not speaking it well. I mean, his English, you know, he understood everything. He read a lot. My mother, she could talk to anybody, and she wasn't, you know, her English wasn't perfect, but on the other hand, she wasn't afraid to speak. She had more of the practical English, where he had the academic, but he was afraid to make mistakes.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think about what's going on recently in the Ukraine?
Well, I think it's wonderful. I think it's so exciting that it's another stage of freedom. Because for so many years, for hundreds, thousands of years, Ukraine was oppressed. And any time in the villages or in towns, any time leaders arose and spoke up, they were destroyed. You know, they were sent to Siberia or killed, or, you know, they were eliminated. And so after a while, people became afraid to speak up, or else the leaders, like during World War II, they were taken to Siberia or they were taken to Germany. And the Ukraine was left like without a leader, you know, like orphans. And so now they're finally beginning to rise without being afraid of being poisoned or killed, although that's still going on. So it's an exciting time. It'll take a while before Ukraine finds its own, but it's an exciting time.
And has that election been verified now?
You know, I haven't seen the recent, because that Yanukovych doesn't want to concede. So I don't know if Yushchenko, I haven't looked on a computer recently, so I don't know. You know, the last few days, because it has to be very recent. So I don't know, but it is an exciting time to, and brave people, and apparently from what I understand this last election, people were not afraid as they have been in the past. So it'll take a while. When I was teaching English, and they were university level students, and this is 98, 99, and some were seminarians, and they were 18 to 22, 23. One of the young men who's now in Rome studying for a PhD, one of the young men, he said, we're all tainted with communism. We grew up, he was about 15 or so when communism fell. He says, we all have the communist spirit in us, and Ukraine won't be free. Ukraine won't think differently till this whole generation of us dies out, then it'll be free. And I thought, well, you know, he's about 26 now, maybe. So you know, that's the generation is coming. The older people are coming to, you know, die. But it's an exciting time.
But just that they have to be wary of the influence of Russia.
Yeah. Communism and foreign rule in general, really. They've not, you know, my father used to say if a horse knew how strong it was, he wouldn't let a mere human ride it. And the same, you know, with nations, you know, they don't have to destroy others to be strong themselves. You know, they each have talents, they each have you know, for instance, Ukraine has rich soil, you know, coal deposits, all that. They just haven't learned how to manage all that. But part of it is because they've been under foreign rule. It's a wonder Ukraine exists at all, really.
Excuse me. Okay, well, do you have anything to add that you'd like to add?
No, just thank you. And next time I go up to Ellis Island, I'll
definitely
be looking. Do you have any sites for Ellis Island that I could...
Yeah, I can give you a list.
A list? Okay.
But I just wanted to ask, before we sign off, if you can give me another saying or prayer in Ukrainian with the English translation.
Okay, let's see, prayer. Well,
or something your father may have told you?
You know, a prayer that, well, my father used to say lots of things. Like you said, God's providence. Prayer that we used to pray a lot, when the bombs would be falling, and they'd be coming closer, the plane came, the louder I prayed. My sister still remembers would be "Our Father" in Ukrainian, "Отче наш, іже єси, на небесіх, да святиться ім'я Твоє, да прийде царствіє Твоє, да буде воля Твоя, яко на небесі і на землі. Хліб наш насущний даж на днес, і остави нам долги наша, яко же і ми оставляєм должником нашим. І не веди нас во іскушення, но ізбави нас від лукавого. Амінь." And that's "Our Father" in Ukrainian. And I would just, as a child, that was my I don't know what blanket, my security blanket for prayer, really. And that's God's providence has provided. I mean, my parents came with, like, Abraham and Sarah, and they came with just, six of us together, and now we have about 80, and all kinds of positions of helping others, helping others in... that was what they did too, so.
Well, thank you very much for allowing me to talk to you for so long and get so much information, very interesting and very valuable information for people to know about your history and the history of the Ukraine.
Yeah.
So thank you very much.
And I think many people, as I meet people and talk, like even the boy I have now from Romania, all of us have stories to tell. It's just that in my family, my parents' way of entertaining us was to tell us their story and their parents' stories and their the village stories. That was, they talked. In some families, they don't talk. And so, but in ours, they did. And so we were blessed, that they told us stories.
Thank you very much. This is Kevin Daly for the Ellis Island Oral History Program, and I've been talking to Orisia Gladio, if I pronounced that right, I hope, in Ambridge, Pennsylvania. It's January 10th, 2005, and I'm signing off. Thank you.
Okay.